Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
It's easy to create your dream kitchen with Clearview Cabinetry at Menards. With multiple finishes to choose from, you'll be sure to find a style that fits perfect for you. Clearview Cabinetry offers features like soft closed doors and drawers as standard and cabinet accessories to match your unique style. Explore Clearview's cabinet options and start designing today in store or on Menards.com, where you can find more of our great deals going on now. Save big money at
Menards. Welcome to Creepy Tapas,
where we do the opposite of deep dives and bring you tiny tastes of terror connected by a common ingredient.
True stories to haunt and chill you and the pop culture they inspired.
Or at least the movies and books that remind us of them.
Join us as we descend into darkness,
beginning with the lighter side of our weekly topic
and wrapping with a full dark, no stars account of terror, madness, murder, and more. It's Creepy Tapas, y'all.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
And thank you everyone for tuning in. On today's show, we have the continuing adventures of Paul Temple, author turned amateur detective. If you enjoy this episode, please check out Volume 1 of Paul Temple in the archives. And let me know what you think of this episode in the comments below. I'm also going to have a poll that talks about episode length and what you guys prefer. So be sure to check that out too. It'll be right there next to the comments. And check out the descriptions to find links to everything in regards to the show. And as always, follow and rate and share the podcast. And thank you to everyone that has done that. It means a lot. And now, enjoy Paul Temple, Volume 2.
Now, Skid, listen, this is important. Have you ever... Skid!
What's the matter?
Look at him, Skid!
What is it? He looks a...
Pass me that glass there, Graham.
The glass? But good God, you don't mean that...
He's dead.
Dead?
Yes, he's dead, all right. What's in the glass, Merritt?
Enough cyanide to kill a regiment.
But that's impossible. Why, it was a new bottle.
Lady to see you, sir, by the name of...
I can't see anyone. Tell her I'm out. Tell her...
Just a moment, Sergeant. Who is the lady? It's a Miss Parchment, sir. A Miss Amelia Victoria Parchment.
Miss Parchment?
Ask her to wait a few minutes.
Very good, sir.
Where's the bottle, Sir Graham?
It's here. I can't understand it. The bottle's a new one. I bought it myself only 2 days ago.
Hmm. The stopper doesn't seem to have been tampered with, as far as I can see. Just a minute. I'm not so sure.
Someone must have tampered with it. Why, I know that...
Then the poison must have been meant for you, Sir Graham. And not for Tyler.
Yes. It looks very much like it.
I think we'd better get M into the other room, sir. Then Dr. Parks can have a look at him.
Oh, yes, yes, by all means. Oh, and take this bottle. See that Mollison gets to work on it.
Yes, sir. Come along, Dale.
And tell the doctor I'd like a word with him.
Very good, sir. Okay, well, I know very good. That's better.
Terrible business. I can't possibly understand how... I say, I hope it hasn't shaken you up, Miss Trent.
No, I'm all right, Sir Graham. Only I'm afraid I shall have to be going. I have an appointment at 4 o'clock and I...
Yes, of course. Of course.
I'll see you later, Steve. About 4:30?
Yes. Goodbye, Sir Graham.
Goodbye, Miss Trent. Oh, Sergeant, Miss Trent is leaving.
Very good, sir. This way, miss.
I wonder whether the poison was meant for Tyler or for me.
Yes. Yes, I wonder.
It seems strange that Tyler should be poisoned just when he was on the point of talking.
Yes. Yes, it does seem strange, doesn't it?
By the way, Temple, a constable at Leamington remembers talking to a girl in a sports car shortly before the robbery occurred. For some reason or other, he's got it into his head that she had something to do with it.
Did he take the number of the car?
No, I'm afraid he didn't. He's written out a pretty good description of the girl, though. Height about 5'4", dark, rather good-looking, dressed in a smart grey costume with a fox fur. She had a set of golf clubs at the back of the car. And apparently she wore a small black wristlet watch.
A small black wristlet watch?
Yes. Does that convey anything?
I don't know. It might.
We've tried to trace the girl, but so far we've failed.
Sir Graham... I've got an idea in my mind, and...
Yes?
There's a jeweler's in Nottingham by the name of Trenchman. They go in for a considerable number of antiques and all that sort of thing. I was at Oxford with a junior partner, a fellow called Rice, Alec Rice. Now, if it became known that Trenchmans had a very valuable stone in their hands, say a blue-white diamond, for argument's sake, it would be a pretty safe bet that our friends would, in the course of time, pay Trenchman's a friendly little visit.
Yes. Yes, I dare say they would. Well?
Well, I'm of the opinion that the robbery at Leamington, and all the other robberies for that matter, have been very carefully planned and premeditated.
I still don't...
I'm also of the definite opinion, Sir Graham, that if it became known... not too well known, mark you, that Trenchman's had a very valuable stone. The people we're up against would take the trouble to verify its existence before actually planning the robbery.
Verify its existence?
Yes. Now, Alec Rice would, I feel sure, help us over this matter. He would supply us with a list of all the inquiries they might receive about this particular stone. Naturally, most of them would be quite legitimate. There's the possibility, a strong possibility in my opinion, that amongst that list there would be an agent of...
Of the Knave of Diamonds?
Yes.
By Jove. By Jove, that's an idea, Temple.
Now, the whole idea would have to be handled very, very carefully. We're not dealing with fools, remember? One or two brief references to the stone might appear in the daily press, an article in one or two of the trade journals, and that's about all. There must be nothing clumsy or blatant about the way the existence of the stone is brought to light. Or they'd tumble to the idea immediately.
Yes, of course. Excellent idea, Temple. Excellent.
Yes, well, I'll get in touch with Rice immediately.
And I suppose I'd better see this woman, Miss Parchment.
Miss Parchment? Did she ask to see you?
No, I sent for her. She was at the inn the night Harvey was murdered.
Yes, I know. I questioned her.
Oh, did you? She's a retired schoolmistress, isn't she?
Yes. A retired schoolmistress with a passion for old English inns.
Miss Parchment, sir.
Well, I'm sorry to have kept you waiting, Miss Parchment. But I'm rather afraid.
Mr. Temple, how nice to see you again. We meet under pleasanter circumstances this time, I hope. Or do we?
Yes, of course. And how are you, Miss Parchment? Quite well, I hope?
Oh, quite well, thank you. A little sciatica now and again, you know, but nothing to complain of.
Miss Parchment, won't you be seated?
Oh, thank you. Do you know this is the first time I've ever been in Scotland Yard? It's quite thrilling, isn't it?
Yes, quite thrilling. Will you have a cigarette?
No, thank you. I see you smoke Russian cigarettes.
Yes, I prefer them. Now, Miss Parchment,
so,
I...
So rightfully clever, the Russians, don't you think so, Mr. Temple?
Yes, I suppose they are.
Chekhov, Ibsen... Ibsen. Was Ibsen a Russian? Do you know, I don't think he was. Well, how perfectly extraordinary.
Miss Parchment, I should like to ask you a few questions.
And why not, Sir Graham, and why not?
So this is where you write all those soul-stirring articles for the Evening Post.
Well, I'm glad somebody thinks they're soul-stirring. Uh-huh. Put those parcels on the table, dear.
Right, How long have you been on the Evening Post, Steve?
Oh, about 18 months. I started as Auntie Molly.
Auntie Molly?
Yes, the answers to correspondence, you know, the...
You mean writing articles about love and things like that?
Mostly about things like that.
I say, this is a grand little place, isn't it?
I'm glad you like it.
Right, Timothy, yes. Rather unusual gramophone you've got, Steve.
Yes, Gerald bought it for me in Paris. The year he was... tea. I'll help you, Mrs. Leddy.
That's all right, dearie. I can manage.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
Is that parcel for me, Mrs. Leddy?
Parcel? Why, yes, of course. It's a good thing you mentioned it now. I should probably have gone to bed with it under my arm.
I gather the memory isn't improving.
Improving? Oh, it's something shocking, miss. There are times when I wonder who the dickens I am.
Where did the parcel come from, Mrs. Neddy? Who delivered it?
It was delivered about an hour ago by a boy, and a cheeky-faced monkey he was.
Was there any message?
No message, dearie. Oh, law, I've forgotten the buttered scone. You'll have to excuse me, dearie.
Mrs. Neddy seems quite a character.
She's a dear. I wonder what this is.
It looks like a disc of some sort, doesn't it?
Yes. We'll soon find out.
A gramophone record.
I wonder who sent it.
Isn't there some writing on it? Steve, what's the matter?
Look what it says on the record.
To Louise Harvey, from the Knave of Diamonds.
Max Lorraine.
Yes. Steve, what are you going to do?
I'm going to play the record. That takes a little while to warm up.
Yes.
Paul... What do you think is on the record?
I don't know. Probably a message from the... Steve, you're shaking.
No, I'm all right.
Here, I'll put it on. You sit down, dear.
What is it, Paul? Why don't you put the record on?
Just a minute. Aren't we being a little obvious, my dear?
A little obvious?
Steve, Supposing you sent someone you knew a record, a gramophone record. It had no official label and looked very mysterious. What do you think would be the first thing they'd do with it?
Why, play it, of course. That's what everyone would do under the circumstances.
Yes, of course it is. That's what everyone would do under the circumstances.
Paul, I don't understand.
The person who sent you this record knew that you'd be puzzled by it, and he knew without a shadow of doubt that the first thing you'd want to do would be to satisfy your curiosity by playing it.
Well?
Steve, don't you see? That's the whole point. The knave wants you to play this record, and immediately you do so, his purpose in sending it to you is fulfilled.
But what is his purpose? Why should he send me a gramophone record? If it contains a message...
Any message it contains could have been sent to you in writing.
Yes. Yes, I suppose it could. Then what's on the record?
Nothing. Nothing of importance. I'm sure of that.
Then why should he send it? You said yourself his purpose was to get me to play it. If nothing is on the record...
Yes, why should he send it? By Timothy. By Timothy, Steve. The gramophone.
Gramophone?
That's what he wants. That's what he wants. He wants you to use the gramophone. Tell me, has it always been in this position?
Yes, always. Only...
Well?
It looks as if it might have been most likely. It's further against the wall as a rule. Oh, and look at the gauze on the speaker.
It's been altered, hasn't it?
Yes.
By Jove, I've got it.
What is it?
Stand on one side, Steve. Now look. When you want to put a record on, you stand in front of the loudspeaker like this, don't you?
Yes.
And you lift the arm up and bring it across the record.
Yes, that's right.
I'm going to do exactly the same. Only I'm going to stand to one side instead. You'll see why in a minute. Now, stand away, Steve. There's a small revolver hidden by the speaker. It's been wired up with the tone arm. Immediately the arm was moved, the revolver fired. Now you know why he sent you the gramophone record. Obliging little fellow, isn't he?
Thank goodness you're here when it arrives.
Steve, how many people know that your real name is Harvey? Louise Harvey.
Yourself, Lord Broadedge, the proprietor of the Evening Post, and... Sir Graham Forbes. That's all.
Yeah. And Merritt, Inspector Merritt. I told him myself.
Inspector Merritt?
Yes.
What are you thinking of?
I was just wondering how long Sir Graham had smoked Russian cigarettes.
Diana!
Has he been through here on the phone?
You mean the chief?
Yes, yes, of course.
No, of course he hasn't. I thought you went to town to see him.
I went to town, all right. I waited over 3 blasted hours in that tube station and there wasn't a sign of him.
I wonder why he didn't turn up.
I don't know.
You haven't heard anything further about Skid?
No. They're still holding him as far as I know.
There's been nothing in the newspapers. I hope to God Skid doesn't talk. That's all I'm worried about.
Any news?
No.
Did you see the knife?
No.
Something's in the wind. Something's in the wind, if you ask me.
Well, nobody's asking you.
It's 3 days since the robbery, and we haven't heard a word about Skid. I tell you, he'll talk. He'll talk.
Oh, shut up, Snow. Have you seen Horace?
Yes.
What about the stuff?
It's all right. It's all right.
And there's nothing to worry about. Mix me a drink. You better mix yourself one, too.
The phone.
That's the chief. The special line.
Yes, I'll take it. Hello? Hello? Yes. Why didn't you meet me? What? Yes. Yes, I'm listening.
What is it? What's it?
Shh. Yes. When? Temple? Yes. I say, be careful. The doc's here now. Yes, yes, all right. Goodbye.
Well,
how's Skid?
Skid's dead.
Dead?
Yes. He was going to talk.
He didn't?
No. The knave got him in time.
Why didn't he meet you?
I don't know. He didn't say. Better get in touch with Horace, Snow. Tell him we meet again on Friday.
Friday?
Why so early?
There's a jeweler at Nottingham called Trenchman. We've got a new stone. Chief wants me to have a look at it. I'm going over there tomorrow. If it's as good as the report said it is, then we'll discuss the matter on Friday with Dixie.
Good.
Oh, and there's just one other point. Our friend Mr. Paul Temple has got to be taken care of. Think you can manage it, Doc?
What do you think? What do you think?
Your aunt is rather a hearty individual.
Hearty is hardly the word. Why should go... What is it, Price?
Mr. Alec Rice has called to see you, sir.
Oh, good. Show him in. This is the jeweler from Nottingham. The chap I was telling you about, remember? Hello, Alec. How are you?
Oh, fine, old boy. You're looking fit.
Miss Trent, Mr. Alec Rice.
How do you do?
How do you do?
I'm in rather a hurry, Paul, but I happened to be passing...
Oh, that's all right, Alec. You can speak in front of Miss Trent.
Oh, good. Yes. Well, your little publicity stunt about the Trenchman diamond seems to be working out all right. We certainly had plenty of inquiries.
Oh?
Most of them, of course, are quite legitimate.
Yes.
People in trade, people we've dealt with for years. But this morning, about 11 o'clock... I think it was 11, a girl came into the shop.
Yes?
She asked to see some statuettes we had in the window, and she examined one or two, and eventually bought one.
Uh-huh.
Now, just before she was leaving, however, she asked to see your stone. She said she'd read something about it in one of the newspapers.
Go on.
Well, there's nothing more to tell, really. She admired the diamond we showed her, and that was the finish of it.
What did she look like?
Dark, sort of voluptuous.
good looking?
Yes, I suppose she was.
Well, something must have impressed you about her. You wouldn't...
As a matter of fact, old boy, I got the impression that all this business about the statuettes was a sort of a blind, you know? I think the real reason for her visit was to have a jolly good deco at the diamond.
Was she tall?
I suppose you are.
You don't seem to have been very observant.
Good Lord, old boy, you can hardly... I say, just a minute. I tell you what I did notice. She had a rather snappy wristed watch. Looked to me as if it was made of onyx or something. It was...
It was black. A diamond clasp and a small platinum safety chain.
Yes, yes, I say. Do you know the girl?
I think perhaps I do, Alec. I think perhaps I do.
Oh, well, I must be toddling.
Look here, won't you stop and have a drink or something?
Oh, sorry, old boy, in a fight.
If you feel you must... show Mr. Rice out, will you, Price?
This way, if you please, sir.
Did you know the girl he was talking about?
Yes. Her name is Thornley. Diana Thornley. Miss Thornley and her uncle, Dr. Milton, dined with me about a fortnight ago.
And you noticed the wristed watch?
Yes, I noticed it. And so did Alec. And so did the constable at Leamington. Do you know, Steve, I think it might be quite a good idea if we paid Dr. Milton a visit.
I should ring again.
There doesn't seem to be anyone in so far as I... Just a minute. Ah, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
I should like to see Dr. Milton. My name is Paul...
Dr. Milton is out. He went into Evesham about an hour ago.
Oh. I see. Then perhaps Miss Thornley would...
Miss Thornley is with the doctor, sir.
Oh. That's rather unfortunate, isn't it?
Was the doctor expecting you, sir?
No, I don't think he was. Still, if he's only popped into Evesham, it might be quite a good idea if we waited.
I hardly think the doctor will be back for quite a little while, sir.
Oh, don't you? Still, I think we'll wait.
Very good, sir. This way, if you please.
Ah, thank you.
This is the lounge, sir. I'll let you know immediately the doctor returns.
Splendid.
What name
Temple.
Should I...
Paul Temple.
Temple. Ah. Thank you, sir.
Hmm. Well, I don't think Boris Karloff would keep him awake.
Behind that rough exterior, there probably lurks a heart of gold.
Lurks is about right, if you ask me.
I say it's a pretty impressive sort of place, this, isn't it?
Yes.
Our friend, the doctor, certainly believes in statues. There's 8 on the mantelpiece.
Mm-hmm. Nothing particularly modest about them, either. Hello, hello.
What is it?
Dear, oh dear, it looks as if our friend Mr. Karloff was spinning a little story when he said the doctor and Diana left an hour ago.
Why?
There's a cigarette end in the fireplace. And it obviously hasn't been there very long, either, judging from appearances.
Perhaps the butler was having a quiet little smoke. That would account for him keeping us waiting.
If it wouldn't account for the lip rouge on the cigarette jelly. Unless we've greatly misjudged our friend.
I say, Paul.
Yes?
This is a funny sort of thing, isn't it?
What is it?
I don't know. Looks like a statue of something or other.
I wouldn't touch it.
The top part is quite loose. It's... Paul, look. Look!
Hey, Timothy, it's part of the paneling in the wall. You must have opened it when you twisted the statue.
Yes.
No, don't touch the statue, Steve. We must have a look at this.
Can you see anything?
Yes. It's just a small room. Nothing exciting about it. It's not even furnished.
Oh.
Let's have a look inside. Come on, Steve. Can you get in all right?
Yes.
That's a girl. Not very impressive, is it?
It doesn't seem to be used at all, as far as I can see. Isn't there a light?
Yes, but I'm blurred if I can see the switch. Close the panel, Steve. I have an idea that might work it.
Yes.
And I thought it would. I could see the small notch in the corner of it. What's that?
It sounds like... Paul, the panel won't open.
Won't open? Here, let me try. Gosh, you're right. We're locked in. Listen.
Paul... Paul, we're moving.
Moving?
It's the room. Can't you feel it? Can't you feel it?
Yes. Yes. By Timothy, Steve. We're in a lift.
A lift?
Keep still.
Paul, we're going down. We're going down. We're going down.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Can you see anything?
Yes. It's just a small room. Nothing exciting about it. It's not even furnished.
Oh.
Let's have a look inside. Come on, Steve. Can you get in all right?
Yes.
That's the girl. Not very impressive, is it?
It doesn't seem to be used at all, as far as I can see. Isn't there a light?
Yes, but I'm blurred if I can see the switch. Close the panel, Steve. I have an idea that might work in.
Right. Yes.
I thought it would. I could see the small notch on the corner of it. What's that?
Paul, we're moving.
Moving?
It's the room. Can't you feel it? Can't you feel it?
Yes. Yes. Why, Timothy, Steve, we're in a lift.
A lift?
Keep still.
Paul, we're going down. We're going down. We're going down.
We're stopping, Steve.
Yes.
Open the panel, Steve.
I wonder where we are.
Probably the bargain basement. Yeah, I'll try that.
Looks like a passage of some sort.
Yes. Can you get out all right?
I think so. They don't give you much room, do they?
I wonder where this place leads to.
I've got a pretty awful sense of direction, but we seem to be going towards the village as far as I can make out.
Yes. We'll walk to the end.
Yes, all right.
Can you see?
Not too badly.
This passage is pretty old. It must have been here for donkey's years.
Yes.
Seems fairly long, doesn't it?
Paul, there's a light.
Where? Oh, yes.
It's an oil lamp. Someone must have been here quite recently.
Someone's been here quite recently, all right. Don't worry about that. I wonder where the devil this leads to.
Most probably the little general. Everything seems to lead towards
the... Timothy, Steve, you're right. You're right.
Paul, you don't...
The little general lies about 100 yards from Ashdown House. We must have come 50 yards already.
Then you really think this passage leads towards the inn?
We'll soon find out. We'll soon find out, Steve.
There's some sort of a wooden staircase over there.
Yes. We're underneath the inn, all right. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Can you hear voices?
Yes. Yes, I think I can.
If we climb to the top of the staircase... We might hear.
Yes.
Be careful, Steve.
Paul, listen. Listen.
The doc will tell you what to do.
What's happened to Skid?
He's dead.
Dead? I thought you said the smash
was all right. It wasn't the smash, Horace.
Then what was it?
He had to be taken care of.
Taken care of? You don't mean the name?
Yes.
Why should he? Why should Skip be murdered?
He had to go. He was on the point of talking.
Well, how do we know? How do we know he was on the point of talking?
That's what I see.
It's the same as Snipey, Jackson and Lefty. They did their job well and then look...
Jackson was a fool. And an incompetent fool into the bargain. He didn't even wear gloves on the Lester job.
Well, what about Lefty?
That was my fault. I was sorry about that. I only meant to give the poor devil a whiff of chloroform, and he passed out on me.
Yes, well, it stands all right. I'm getting a bit windy, see? And Knave is just a little too smart for my liking.
A little too smart, eh, Horace? How very interesting.
If the Knave wasn't smart, we shouldn't be here, my friend. You can take that from me.
What do you mean?
The Knave received information about a valuable diamond owned by a Nottingham firm called Trenchman's. Diana went around there this morning and had a look at it. We were supposed to make all the arrangements about the job tonight. But this morning, after Diana got back, the chief rang up. And...
well?
Trenchman Diamond was a trap. A charming little noose, my friend, for us all to put our pretty little necks in.
Truth. What about Diana? How do we know she wasn't followed?
I may have been.
We don't know. Diana's got to lie low for a while.
It's a damn good job the chief found out about Trenchman, so we'd have been in a swell jam.
Whose idea was it to have a plant like that? I mean, a favorite was that
it
nosy...
It was Mr. Paul Temple's idea, unless I'm very much mistaken. And unless I'm very much mistaken, Mr. Temple is going to be aptly rewarded for his originality.
Then heaven help the poor devil if you get your hands on him, Doc. Do you remember that Greek fella? The small drops of acid? I'll never forget his face. He was...
Shut up! Shut up!
Horace is a little sensitive, aren't you, Horace?
Well, I saw him and you didn't. He was staring. Staring!
Pull yourself together, Horace. Now listen. And listen carefully. The chief's got another idea up his sleeve. And as far as I can make out, it's going to be a pretty big proposition. He wants you all here in room 7 on Thursday at 9 sharp.
Is he coming?
Yes. Yes, he's coming. Dixie, I want you to meet Snow at the house. I'll see he gets his instructions. You can come down the passage until you reach.
Paul, we'd better go back to the house.
Yes. Careful, Steve.
Do you think we should be able to work the lift?
We'll have to. Mind that bottom step.
You can see quite clearly when you get used to the light.
Yes. Now, come on, Steve. We must hurry.
Here we are.
This panel is... ah, that's got it. Hurry, Steve.
It's working. We're going up.
Yes. I hope Karloff, the butler, hasn't missed us.
Is the room empty?
Yes.
Good.
Careful. That's fine. Now, how do we close the panel from the... oh, the statue, Steve.
I'll do it.
Good.
Now what?
Steve? Steve, I'm worried.
Worried? Why?
I'm worried because you're mixed up in this affair. These people are dangerous. They'll stop at nothing. You've got to watch yourself, Steve. You've got to watch yourself.
Don't worry. I will.
You're very sweet.
Ever since that incident in your flat, the record, I've been anxious for you. Steve, can't you go away for a little while?
No. No, and even if I could, I shouldn't. This is my affair, Paul. My affair more than anyone else's. The name of Diamonds killed my brother.
But Steve, you must...
But that isn't everything. The whole affair is much deeper than that, Paul. Much deeper. From the very beginning of the Cape Town robberies 8 years ago, I knew and hated the name of Max Lorraine. I knew that sooner or later I should have to face him. Please believe me, Paul.
Steve, listen. We agreed that it would be Paul Temple versus Max Lorraine. And that's what it's got to be. You heard them talking in that room at the inn. And you know the type of people we're up against. Steve, for my sake, you've got to keep out of this.
But Paul...
I shall make a point of seeing Sir Graham first thing tomorrow morning. That inn must be raided on Thursday at all costs. Steve, there's something I've been wanting to ask you.
Well?
You remember you told me that when your brother was investigating the Cape Town robberies, he worked with another officer, a man who was later murdered by Max Lorraine?
Yes, yes, that's right.
Tell me, what did they call the man?
Bellman. Sidney Bellman. Why?
I was just wondering, that's all.
Are we going to wait here?
No. I think we've seen enough of Ashdown House for the time being. I'll get hold of this butler fellow and tell him we're not waiting. Is that the bell push?
Yes, I'll ring.
He's coming.
You rang, sir?
Yes, we've decided not to wait for Dr. Milton. Perhaps you'd be kind enough to give him my kind regards.
Certainly, sir. Good night, sir. Good night, miss.
This is a lucky chance that Miss Trent touched that statue. You say this passage runs from the doctor's house into the actual inn itself?
Yes, Sir Graham.
You think this passage is a recent innovation?
No, it's been there for donkey's years. It must have been. I dare say it was used by smugglers originally as a sort of storing house. Why, some of these old English inns have...
What is it?
I was just thinking. I wonder if Miss Parchment knew that there was a definite connection between the doctor's house and the little general.
Miss Parchment? Who's Miss Parchment? Oh, the retired schoolmistress. Oh, good heavens. Why should she know anything about it?
I just wondered, that's all.
You know, the thing that beats me, Temple, is how this fellow, the Knave of Diamonds, discovered that the Trenchman affair was a trap.
Well... The answer to that is quite simple, Sir Graham.
Quite simple?
The Knave is here, amongst us. He knows all our plans and everything about us.
Good God, Temple. Are you suggesting that...
I'm suggesting nothing, Sir Graham, that the facts themselves do not indicate. Skid Tyler was murdered, remember, here, in this very office, because he was on the point of divulging the identity of the Knave of Diamonds.
Yes. Yes, you're right, Temple. And who is the Knave?
I don't know. But I may have a pretty good idea within 24 hours.
Within 24 hours?
Yes. There's a meeting to be held at the Little General tomorrow night at 9. And the Knave will be there.
Then...
I want about half a dozen of your men to surround the place. If anyone attempts to leave, have them picked up. But no one must be stopped from entering the inn. You understand?
Yes. And the doctor's house?
Exactly. The same precautions must be taken. At about 9:15, the men watching the house will close in on it, force an entrance, and come down the underground passage to the inn. Is that clear?
Yes.
Meanwhile, at 9:15, the men watching the inn follow exactly the same procedure. Close in on the little general and force an entrance.
Yes, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
Oh, that's all right, Dale. Tell Davis of the flying squad I want a word with him.
Very good, sir.
I should have your men planted at about 8, Sir Graham, and then...
Now, don't worry. I'll see to that all right.
Good.
It might be a good idea if I came down myself. The two of us could join the men at the little general there.
Yes, yes, splendid.
My gosh, Temple, we've got him. We've got him this time.
I wonder, Sir Graham. Are the men armed, Sir Graham?
Some of them are, I believe. Aren't they, Dale?
The men watching the house have service revolvers, sir. I thought under the circumstances...
Oh, of course, yes, yes, of course.
You understand about the statue, don't you, Inspector?
Yes, I think so, sir. It's on the left, you say, as soon as you enter the lounge.
Yes, that's right. The head of the statue is on a sort of base. As soon as you turn it, you will see the panel in the wall. I told you about the light, didn't I?
Yes, good.
So far as I could gather, the lift works automatically. Immediately you close the panel, you will hear the machinery.
I see.
I think someone ought to be left behind in the house, Dale. I should leave Smith, Hodgson, and Mowbray. We'll pick them up later.
Very good, sir.
Oh, by the way, you have the search warrant.
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, good. Well, I think that's about all, isn't it, Temple?
Yes. We should be waiting for you at the little general. Good luck.
Thank you, sir.
And be careful in that passage. I expect the devils know the place backwards.
Well, even if they get past me, sir, Mowbray and company will be waiting for them in the lounge.
Oh, yes, of course. Right, Dale. Good luck.
Thank you, sir.
He seems a nice fellow, Dale.
Yes. A bit reserved, but very efficient. He's only been at the yard about 12 months.
Hmm.
What time is it exactly?
I make it 8:40.
Hmm. How long should it take us to get down to the inn?
Oh, about 15 minutes, no longer.
Oh, well, there's no hurry.
Dale said he had 6 men at the house. How many are watching the inn?
Now, let me see. Is Foster, Robinson... Oh, about 8 or 9, I should say.
Good. Is Merritt there?
No.
Then, I think the best plan would be for you and me to enter the inn first. And if possible, we can also ask... what is it, Price?
There's a lady called to see you, sir. Mrs. Neddy. I told her you were
engaged. Good Lord, that's Steve's landlady. Surely she...
You've bursted in on you like this, Mr. Temple. Oh, dear. Dear, I'm that exhausted.
Sit down, Mrs. Neddy. That's all right, Price.
Very good, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry to trouble you, sir, but...
No, that's all right, Mrs. Neddy. Just take your time.
Thank you, sir. Oh... Oh, what a relief.
Now, you feel any better?
Oh, yes. Yes, much better, thank you, sir.
Good. Now, what is it you want to see me about?
It's about Miss Trent, sir.
Miss Trent? What about Miss Trent?
She's disappeared, sir.
Disappeared? What makes you say that, Mrs. Neddy?
Well, it's like this, sir. This morning at about 9:30, the telephone rang in Miss Trent's flat. I was in the kitchen downstairs at the time, and I could hear it as clear as a bell, as you might say, sir. I could always hear the telephone, sir, because the kitchen been rather on
the
small
side. Yes,
Mrs.
Neddy, but what happened?
Well, sir, after a little while, Miss Trent comes downstairs. She seemed in rather a hurry and a bit excited. I asked her if she was going out, whether she'd be back for lunch or not. I always like to know whether she'll be in for lunch,
yes,
sir.
Yes, yes, and what did she say, Mrs. Neddy?
She said that the editors sent for her, and she'd probably be back in about an hour and a half. She also asked me not to turn their room out, since she'd probably want to stay in all day and work. That often happens with Miss Trent, sir. She goes down to the newspaper office...
Yes, go on, Mrs. Neddy, please.
Well, sir, there's nothing much to tell, really, except that... She never came back. And then about 11:45, the telephone went again. I can hear it all over the blessed house. So after a while, I went upstairs and I answered it and...
Yes, Mrs. Neddy?
It was a newspaper officer. They said they wanted to speak to Miss Trent. I told them she'd left the house immediately after they called her, but well, the man at the other end, he said he was the editor and that... that...
Yes?
That they never had called her.
Good Lord.
I didn't know what to do, sir. I was in a quandary, as you might say. Then suddenly, I remembered all those articles Miss Trent used to write about sending for Paul Temple, and I thought...
Very wisely, Mrs. Neddy, very wisely.
Temple, you don't think that the maze is...
By Timothy, we've no time to lose, Sir Graham. No time to lose.
Anything to report, Tanner?
No, sir.
Has anyone entered the inn?
Not a soul, sir. I can't understand it.
Come along, Sir Graham.
You know the signal, Tanner, in case we need you.
Yes, sir.
They seem deserted.
Yes. I wonder if there's anyone in the back parlor.
We'll soon find out.
You know, it looks to me as if we're on a wild goose chase.
Where does this door lead to?
Oh, that door leads outside, I think, into a sort of courtyard. You won't find anything out there except pigeons.
Well, where the devil is the room you were telling me about? Room 7?
Yes, that's what I want to know.
It can't very well be upstairs because of the passage leading from the house.
No. It must be behind this paneling somewhere.
Sounds solid enough.
Yes, but there's quite a gap between this parlor and the staircase. I reckon that's where the room is.
Yes, but how are we going to get into it? There must
just a
be
minute,
some...
just a minute.
What is it?
I thought I heard it. Listen.
There's someone behind the paneling.
Yes.
That's Dale.
By Timothy, he's been quick.
Is that you, Dale?
Yes. Where are you?
Knock on the wall, Dale.
He's over here, I think.
Must be some way to
Look,
get through.
The panel's moving.
He must have found the switch.
Yes.
Hello, Sir Graham. There's a room in here. Sir,
yes, that's what we're looking for. Mind your head on that beam.
Oh, certainly love to find the switch for the panel.
So this is room 7.
Where's the entrance from the house?
Through that cupboard, sir. There's another panel. It leads down to the passage.
Well, these people certainly picked a good hideout. Did you find anyone in the house, Dale?
No, sir. But on the small table in the hall, I found this.
What is it?
It's a playing card. The Knave of Diamonds.
There's something on the back, sir.
By Timothy.
What does it say?
It says, enter Paul Temple, exit Louise Harvey.
Exit Louise Harvey. Temple, we've got to find that girl.
Sir Graham.
What is
someone in the back parlor? Look, you can
see
his head.
Mary. Come in, Charles.
Hello, Paul. What the devil do you... Sir Graham. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mary. What are you doing here?
I came down to see Mr. Temple, sir. His man told me he was at the Little General, and... Well, it's lucky you were here, too, sir.
Why? What is it, Merritt?
I'm afraid I've got bad news, sir.
Bad news?
It's Ratcliffe and Chambers of Malvern, sir. They're running through...
Ratcliffe and Chambers? You mean the jewellery people?
Aye.
Merritt, you don't mean to say that there's been
yes,
another...
Yes, Sir Graham. £14,000 worth.
£14,000? Good Lord,
when did this happen?
About 6 o'clock. Apparently a man went into the shop. Oh, by the way, Paul, Bryce asked me to give you this cable. It arrived about 5 minutes after you left. He
Good.
Said
I've been expecting this. Excuse me, will you? Interesting news, Sir Graham. It's from a friend of mine in South Africa. He's attached to the Cape Town Intelligence Department.
Well, what does he say?
He says Sidney Bellman was unmarried, but he had a sister.
Who the devil is Sidney Bellman?
He was the man who assisted Harvey when he was in South Africa. They worked together over what was known as the Simonstown case.
Oh, yes, I remember. Didn't Miss Trent say he was murdered?
Yes. He was murdered by the Knave of Diamonds.
What does your friend mean by, but he had a sister?
I wonder. I wonder.
That's from the cupboard. One of the men must have come through from the house.
Open the panel, Dale.
Mulberry, what is it? I told you to stay at the house.
Sorry, sir, but this lady arrived and insisted on seeing Mr. Temple.
Michael Preston.
Parchment.
So we meet again, Mr. Temple. How nice.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.